lots of people out there, not you were the suspect, so. That being the case, please be seated. This is time set for administrative hearings. We have two matters up. I'm going to take in reverse order ABKT 531, amendment to Supreme Court Rule 49. This is as to military spouses. Do we have someone who would like to speak as to this issue?
Chief Justice and both justices, it's my pleasure to present this on behalf of the State Bar of Nevada. ADKT 0531 is to amend the Supreme Court rule for temporary certification for the practice of law of attorney spouses of active duty military personnel. The need for licensure accommodations for military spouses was first recognized in 2012 by the American Bar Association. And it passed a resolution urging states to adopt rules that would accommodate military spouse attorneys. According to the U.S. Department of Defense, in their 2008 report on military spouse education and employment, military spouses are 10 times more likely to have to move to a different state than compared to two other occupations. Only 1 in 10 military spouses remain in the same location for at least 5 years. Military spouses have an employment rate that is 3 times higher than other civilian counterparts. So the Department of Defense had a study done in 2004 on the impact of spouses with regard to having their husbands or spouse in the military service. And they found that the most negative impact on these was the having to move often and far. So, in 2011, the White House released a report, and it was reported that the challenge was to reduce the barriers that currently prevent military spouses from maintaining a career or employment. The proposed ADKT is an attempt in recognition of the hardship imposed on military families who often need outside employment to supplement their family income and to support our military members stationed in Nevada. The practicality of the requirement for all applicants to take the Nevada bar examination is that a military spouse must spend over $1,000 and can practice maybe for only a year before their spouse is assigned to another jurisdiction. The limited jurisdiction would permit a military spouse to practice law once the spouse has met all the remaining admission requirements, including demonstrating good moral character and fitness to practice law. The limited certification would expire if the spouse ceases to be a dependent of the service member, separates from the military, or when the service member is permanently transferred to a location with dependents authorized to travel with the service member. But in no event would this limited certification last longer than 4 years. A spouse would be permitted to remain in Nevada and practice law if the service member is assigned to an unaccompanied and remote assignment where dependents are not authorized. Military spouses would be required to complete the same annual CLE requirements and will be subject to the jurisdiction of the courts and disciplinary boards of the state. And for those reasons, the State Bar, and the task force has been working with respect to special licensing and looking at reciprocity and other issues, has made the recommendation that Nevada adopt what's been recommended by the ABA and others to permit military spouses to, under special circumstances, have limited licenses for 4 years, subject to the other requirements of an attorney in the state of Nevada.
I have some questions.
Mr. Chair?
I'll tell you what the questions are. And I have no feeling one way or the other at this point. What would they pay to become a member of the state bar is number one. Number two, would you require mandatory malpractice insurance? If they're separated, when I say separated, if they have a separation, in other words, they're no longer living as husband and wife, our spouses, would they still be able to have this exemption? And 4 years sounds kind of long without having to take the bar exam. And what about character and fitness? Will they examine any of these folks?
Okay. Number one, I'll start at the last one because that's one I can remember. Character and fitness will still be required. They will have to be admitted in another state. Second of all, you asked...
What would they pay?
They would pay $1,000 for an application, and then they would pay the same dues as lawyers admitted in the state.
What about any type of demand that they have mandatory malpractice insurance?
All lawyers in Nevada are required to have mandatory malpractice.
Well, what about this? This is a special thing, and I'm not talking about somebody who's hired by the Attorney General's office or special public defender or legal aid, where at least they've got coverage there. But what about somebody who just comes in and starts practicing law, and we know they're not going to be here long because I don't think you have a career at Nellis or anyplace else in the state. What about a demand for mandatory malpractice insurance to protect the public?
As currently presented to the court, it does not require mandatory insurance, but the court understands my preference for mandatory insurance.
I understand that.
And I think that we require the other specialties, and maybe with regard to limited licenses, that may be a concept.
But what if they're going through a divorce and are separated, and what about if they do get divorced? And how does it end if they get divorced? Like, you're here, and this happens in the military. I'd be very familiar with that. Many of the people that practice law here, when you and I started, came from Nellis Air Force Base. That's where the doctors, dentists, and lawyers came from, because they didn't have any here. But what happens, how does it end if somebody gets divorced and is no longer a military spouse?
Their special license ends when they get divorced. That's how it ends. That's what, in the rule, that's what we're proposing, is if they're no longer related to the service person because they're divorced, at that point, they need their own, they'd have to take the Nevada bar.
What if they're going through a divorce, though? How do you work that?
Well, if they're going through a divorce, under the rules, they would still be able to practice under the limited license until their divorce is final.
Thank you, Gene.
Can I answer them all?
Absolutely.
Thank you for doing this.
Another question?
Mr. Again, I had a good follow-up to what Justice Jerry said. The period of 4 years, I assume that was in the resolution of the ABA, the four-year time period, or did you come up with that, meaning the state bar?
That 4 years was adopted by some states. Some states adopted 5 years. So it was between 4 and 5 years. So the determination was that 4 years was sort of the outer limits of what our other special licenses were. So that's how it was selected by the task force.
Okay. My next question would be kind of following where Justice Jerry left off is, how do you monitor dispute? I mean, your staff is very busy, they work hard, do an excellent job at keeping track of these people to make sure they're in compliance with it during this four-year period of time, not only military spouses, but other limited admittees. How would the state bar go about making sure that they continue to fulfill these requirements as set forth in the rule?
Well, it would be the responsibility of the special licensee to notify the state bar, but in addition, there'd be an annual application, and in that, they would have to certify their current status and demonstrate that their spouse is still a service person and still stationed in the state of Nevada. However, there could be candidly circumstances where somebody could get a divorce, and it would be a while before that we would be informed, and they may not inform the state bar.
Right. I think, as you know, we discussed this at our recent meeting in Carson City, and I'm not speaking for all justices, I can't, but I'm sure everybody has a different opinion. opinion on this, but I know there's a concern that if you're going to be here for a reasonable period of time, you should take the bar like we all did and pass it. So I don't think we're all happy to give these special classifications for needy, for worthy people and all that. At some point in time, it's time to take the bar and become a full member and all that. And how, where we draw the line on time, I know we're kind of looking for your guidance and all on that.
I think that with regard to, it was the task force that considered this recommendation as to the 4 years, but I think with regard to taking the bar, I think a spouse coming here who sees that they're going to be here for a period of time would should be encouraged to take the bar exam because they know it's limited. So I think that we will find that we may give them a temporary period of time, but if they've been practicing for a couple of years and they see that they're spouse is going to be here for a while, they may want to, they should be encouraged to take the bar exam. Okay. This is not a free pass, they have to take the bar.
Right, no, I understand. It's a 4 year gap on this proposal.
Yes.
Okay. I have a question about the wording on paragraph 10B of your proposed rule. I understand that to be what captures Justice Cherry's questions about a spouse who gets divorced from the service member spouse.
Right.
But why wouldn't you just say that directly? Because I'm not sure why you're using the phrase dependent, ceases to be a dependent of the service member rather than is divorced from the service member. I'm not sure what you're introducing with that concept. Is this a standard rule you've got from somewhere else?
Most likely, I can't say where, but I think you make a good point that dependent is kind of confusing with regard to, I don't think spouses often think of themselves as being dependents.
Yeah, I don't.
So I think maybe...
Not mine.
Nor mine.
So that language could be modified. I think there's some merit there, which...
And then you have a clear cutoff. You're either married or you're not married. I mean,
that's right.
The other question I had is also minor, and it concerns page 4, paragraph 2H. And my only question is, why do they have to... It's phrased in terms of three years before filing the public professional responsibility. You're supposed to take and pass the PRE not earlier than 3 years preceding the filing of an application. To me, it would make more sense to run from the date of your admission.
And I agree with you. I have that circled as well. I don't know where that language came from. I think that Brian, yeah. You might have Brian refers
to... No, I'm glad to speak to Brian. Mr. Kunze.
Brian Kunze.
Thank you, Your Honor. Justices, Brian Kunze, Director of Admissions for the State Bar. The language, if I go back first to your first question with regards to dependent, that is a very definable term under the military regulations as to who qualifies as a dependent. And that was taken from the Model Act that has really been adopted by 26 different states. So there is a very finite definition to it that would require that there actually be a divorce. That's where that language came from. The NPRE, that language, again, was just put in to mirror, basically, a lot of this mirrors what we do with other limited practice people. And so it's really the same language that applies to
that makes sense. Then if there's an ease of administration point to it, that's fine. If it were original, I would run it from the date the person's admitted, but it doesn't matter to me.
And again, I don't think it really makes any difference to us either. It's just that, and it's interesting that probably less than half the states even have an NPRE requirement with this type of military spouse.
Well, that's, from my standpoint, a general question in the first place.
Yes.
Previously, it used to be just a certificate of good standing from the state that you were admitted in or last practiced in, opposed to the 85 and 3 years. And I'm wondering why we're doing that opposed to a certificate of good standing to say that they are still in good standing in whatever jurisdiction they're coming out of and have no breaches. It shows, more importantly, they not only pass a test, but they comply with the rules.
And part of it, I think, Chief Justice, it really goes back to the issue of the requirements of what everybody has to do to become admitted to the state. And therefore, I think one of the things this court has emphasized is, you know, passing an NPRE. So again, that's why we just
need to talk about the situation in state when you take the exam. But we don't have a reciprocity at this time. So that's why I look at it a little bit different, shaded off, that we're acting like we have a reciprocity standard, and we really don't.
The other thing I add to that is that the attorneys who take the bar exam have to pass the NPRE. They have the same requirements. So this is really just imposing the same requirements as if they took the bar exam or not.
But it seemed to, back to the beginning of this, we're looking at spouses of military personnel who are enduring a certain hardship because they're being dragged around the country, so to speak, because of deployment. And so I'm looking, just like Justice Sherry, I'm concerned about looking at the sums of money, the $1,000 up front, and then the payment thereafter. And I was concerned whether the annual application required a new $1,000 every annual application, plus what your bar dues are now. Because I have that in Section 4, and then when I go over to Section 8B, they're responsible for the annual dues also. So from my standpoint, this is not about making money. This is about having competent people and giving military spouses a break to practice. So those are my personal concerns, and likewise the 4 years. But I salute you for bringing this forward. Justice Hardison?
Mr. Kuzi, while you were there, unless Mr. Leverty prefers to answer, if you look at Section 2C of the proposed rule, it makes reference to C through J of Subsection 1 of Rule 51. I didn't look up those sections. Is it in those sections or those subsections that the requirement for clearance by character and fitness is spelled out?
Rule 51.
If I could.
Thank you, Justice. The Rule 51 has all the other requirements that they have to graduate from an ABA accredited law school.
Yeah.
So basically all the other admissions requirements. And then it does include passing character and fitness, but in the ADKT, we actually did include a very specific provision that made it very clear that they had to pass through character and fitness, follow the exact same character and fitness procedures. So that way, if we have any questions, they have the right to go through the same hearing process that we would have, like an informal hearing or formal hearing, through the Board of Bar Examiners to pass character and fitness.
Well, I recognize that's the intent, but when I look at the listed requirements under paragraph 2 in Rule 49, I don't see character and fitness spelled out on any of the requirements A through H. Am I missing something?
That's what we want to make very clear, that all of those requirements are there. So all the other requirements that you have to do to pass the bar exam, and making sure that it's very clear that they have to go through the same character and fitness examination as anybody else would.
Well, right, but I'm just trying to ask you, Mr. Kuzin, where in Rule 2, Section 2 of Rule 49, does it say that they have to meet the character and fitness clearance and requirements and processes? I had opened my questioning by saying, is that contained in C through J of subsection 1 of Rule 51? If it isn't, then I don't see it contained in the rule.
Is part of Rule 51, where they are required to demonstrate that they have the moral character and fitness to practice law in the state of Nevada.
Well, that's why I don't know whether this reference in C covers that or whether it's covered explicitly, but my personal preference is not to refer to the other rule without making clear that we're talking about character and fitness. But that is the intent of the ADKT, is that right?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And then my second question gets to an observation that was made before about the language that's used on the last page of the petition, or of the proposed rule, lines 10 through 11 on page 6, where it says, in no event shall certification to practice under this rule remain in effect longer than 4 years. When the court entertained the writ petitions from two of the deputy attorney generals earlier last year, and the state bar was asked to comment on those petitions, in the state bar's comment, it agreed that this language was ambiguous. So I was surprised to see it come up here again. I presume that there's no ambiguity here, that if someone is in this state practicing law under this provisional certificate, on the day after the 4th year that certificate is entered, they're done. Is that the intent of the ADKT?
That is absolutely the intent, and that is absolutely how that we have been interpreting the rule.
So would this edit be acceptable? That instead of this sentence, section sub F be added to that paragraph, and it says, upon the expiration of the 4th year of the date on which the certificate to issue the practice of law under this rule has been issued.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
That clarifies.
Chief, can I ask a question?
Yes.
Mr. Leverty, this is really just curiosity. The 4 years, did that come out of the Model Act? Did that come out of the model, the 4 years?
The 4 years came, as I understand it, it came out, I don't know if it's a model per se, but some states have adopted 4 years, some have adopted 5 years. But I can't say what's in the model itself.
Does it seem to be related, at least in some fashion, to what would be a deployment period? I mean, is there some rhyme or reason to why four and not two or not six?
You know, I think what they found with regard to the study was that they would usually stay in a state not more than 5 years. And I think that's what, you know, the 5 years is based on. They backed it up because most of our special licensure, except for corporate counsel, is limited to 2 years. Yeah. But those are all being reviewed at this point. I will say with regard to the fee, the $1,000 fee is for processing the application. It's the same fee that anyone pays for applying or to be admitted in the state.
So that's a one-time fee, $1,000?
It's a one-time fee.
Okay.
With the application.
I think that could be made more clear also. After Chief Justice Douglas raised that, I can see you could read it to be an annual fee as well.
Yeah, no,
so
it's
we might
not
want to clarify that.
That's a good point, and it should be clarified. You make all great points with regard to possible modifications. Any other questions?
I just said, one of these modifications, you want us to do it, or do you want to take another crack at it? That it would, our staff does it, but hopefully we're trying to get on the same page.
We will do the modifications to comply with the ideas that were provided. We would just need Justice Hardesty's language. So we can incorporate it word for word. Yeah. Anything else? I think we have other parties that are here too.
If they wish to approach, please do so.
Hello. Good afternoon. May it please the court. My name is Christina Olson. I am an attorney. I'm also a 2010 graduate of the Boyd School of Law at UNLV. Over the past 10 or so years, I've had the pleasure of knowing many military spouse attorneys, and many of us have had to sit for multiple bar exams. I myself personally have sat for the bar exams in Louisiana, Missouri, and Nevada. I hope that the next generation of military spouse attorneys does not have to repeat this process. Every few years, there's the stress of moving to a new location, taking another bar exam, and sitting through months of unemployment waiting for the results to come out. As you know, in 2012, the American Bar Association adopted a resolution calling for states to provide licensing accommodations for military spouse attorneys. There are now 27 jurisdictions with those types of provisions. I am so glad the State Bar of Nevada and Supreme Court of Nevada have looked into this issue. The temporary certification proposed here would improve the lives of a few families a year. I estimate that here in Nevada, it would probably be about two families a year. And that's just a guess of mine. It's based on people I know and people that they have talked to. It seems about two military spouse attorneys come through Las Vegas each year and sit for the Nevada Bar. It bears repeating that military spouses often take bar exams at burdensome times, with newborns at home, during deployments, while moving, or while volunteering within military-related organizations. Not taking the bar exam would free up the attorney to focus on these other important family and community responsibilities. Along these lines, too, the certification would encourage non-practicing military spouse attorneys to join the legal community. Many people choose not to work in Nevada because of the burden of the bar exam. The court has asked for public comments, so I'd like to take the opportunity to pass along some comments from the board of the Military Spouse JD Network. This is a bar association for military spouse attorneys. Before I start, I'll say that the MSJDN is incredibly supportive of the proposed rule as it is. The only things I was asked to mention are these. First, the MSJDN would request a discretionary review at the end of the four-year time limit. This would help the military families who are stationed in Nevada for more than a four-year period. Second, the MSJDN requests that the NPRE scores, the ethics test scores, be allowed from a five-year time frame rather than a three-year time frame. This would reduce the burden on repeated testing and fees. We are truly grateful for your careful consideration of this issue. It is a testament of the great support that our military families receive from the state. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're a military spouse?
I am, correct.
You took the Missouri bar?
Correct.
So did I.
Yeah. All right.
That's a UBE bar exam, isn't it?
Correct, it is.
So we just were at the Conference of Chief Justices. We understand the UBE is now 30 states. So you're eligible to practice in 30 states.
That would be a lot of states to practice in. But I suppose it's been a while since I've looked at it, but I think that your UBE scores get stale after a while. So maybe my scores back from 2012 would not be so good. But at some point, yes, I could have.
Does the military spouses take a position on UBE?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure that they do. I think, anecdotally, I think when military spouses move to a UBE state, they're excited if their old scores can apply. They don't have to sit for the bar again.
That's all.
Thank you.
Any additional questions?
Thank you very much.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. My name is Amy Rose, and I am a Nevada Bar attorney, and I work for the ACLU of Nevada. And I am also the spouse of an active duty Air Force officer. And I'm here today to support this rule that's being considered by this court. And I'd also like to say first that another attorney in our office is also a military spouse. She just moved here because her husband stationed at Nellis. He's a military physician. She went until later this morning, so she obviously could not be here today, but she is also signed up to take the Nevada Bar the end of this month. So she will be taking the bar, almost 3 weeks after giving birth. And so this is, a really good example of someone this rule could really help. Really make a difference in her life if this rule had passed before she had to take the bar and had a baby and moved here. And this is also would be the third bar that she takes. So she also has passed the bar in Texas and she's passed the bar in South Dakota. So my situation is actually extremely lucky. But even my situation, I think, helps to highlight for this court what the unique needs and challenges are of military spouses and the sacrifices that we have to make. So I moved here in 2010 with my husband. This was my first bar. It was great. But then after being here for a couple years, he was stationed in California for just a year. And seeing that I was not barred in California, I had student loans to pay, there's no way that I couldn't work for a year. I stayed here, and he lived in California, and we lived apart for a year. You know, we were lucky it was only for a year, and we were able to see each other. But this is definitely still a sacrifice that our family had to make because of the unique needs of being a military spouse. After a year, I was very lucky again. He's stationed here again afterwards. But now, our luck has run out just a little bit, and my husband is now being stationed back in California, in Northern California. So he'll be leaving in about 6 weeks. And again, I guess I'm a little bit lucky that my employer has allowed me to do remote work. So I will be able to continue to keep my job, but there's a lot of sacrifices that I will continue to have to make because of that remote work. I'll have to fly back often, which is a cost on me. You know, I love my job and I want to keep it, and I have to be employed just for practical reasons. And so having a rule like this in Nevada obviously won't impact me because I'm barred. But I thought that maybe this situation would help you guys understand some of the needs and unique circumstances that we go through as military families. You know, obviously I love my spouse, and I'm very proud of him for the work that he does and for his choice to dedicate his life to serving our country. And I know that when I married him, I would have to make sacrifices as an attorney. These are things that we know as military spouses, and we sign up for that. But this court also has an opportunity today to help lessen that burden and to help make those sacrifices just a little bit easier, or just a fewer sacrifices that we have to make as military spouse attorneys. So just wanted to say thank you very much to this court for considering this rule. Thank you to the Nevada Bar for helping get this rule here today, and the Board of Governors. This will make a huge difference in the lives of military families. And one last thing, just with the 4 years, I know you guys had some questions about the 4 years and why 4 years. I obviously have been here much longer than 4 years, but my situation is extremely unique. Most people are stationed different places for 4 years or less. And so that's kind of just, you know, if you're here for 4 years, that would most likely be the time that you're here. You're just here for a little bit. So happy to answer any questions.
Is California taking any action on military spouses?
You know, I don't know everything that they've done in the past, but I do remember a few years ago they considered it, and there was some kind of issue with whether it came from the bill or from the California Supreme Court, and so I don't think that went anywhere. So unfortunately, no, there is no California rule for military spouses, so if I wanted to practice in California, I would have to take the California bar.
Once we adopt it, which I'm assuming we're going to do, make sure you send a copy to the Chief Justice of California to let her know that Nevada, because we were just with her at Lake Las Vegas at the Conference of Chief Justices, and maybe they'll take some action for you.
We'll do.
That would be nice.
Thank you, Justice Chair.
They can take fast action at Supreme Court.
Thank you.
Ms. Rose, you better not leave the state because you have to serve on the advisory committee.
I just got appointed. I know. I just had my first meeting. Great.
She's
Thank
also
you.
On the Agent Defense Commission, too.
I have a lot of work to do, which is why I can't leave. Thank you.
Not counting for litigation.
Does anyone else wish to speak as to this matter? Hearing no one, we will close the public hearing as to this matter. Seems to be an empty audience. I'm sorry. We will. This matter still. So is there anyone in Carson City who would like to speak? Hearing none, for the second time, we will close the hearing. That will take us.